Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen, and as usual, in studio today, our engineer, Paul. Paul, how are you?
Well, worried. Very worried about this show.
You should be, Paul. We're gonna approach a subject that is going to bring out the tissues.
You know, and I know you're going to talk about emotion and men, and I grew up in a world where that was in a time where that was just not the case in the 50s in the Midwest. You know, real men did not show emotions.
Well, Paul, at the end of this, you are going to be hugging us on the way. I can't wait.
I can't wait to see the transformation here.
Well, I'm so pleased and honored to have my friend and my guest, Lola Gershfeld. Lola, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Bart. I'm so honored to be here, really.
We're pleased to have you. I'm so excited. So I'm going to give you a kind of cue you up, let the audience know who you are and what you do. Mm-hmm. So Lola is a doctor of psychology, and she is a board and team dynamics specialist. And she is founder and CEO of Level 5 Executive, improving the effectiveness of leaders, boards, and teams through the emotional connection process. She serves on the Board of Governors at the Center Club Orange County and is an adjunct professor at Chapman University in Orange. Lola is also the author of two books, Trust Makers and Effective Board and Team Dynamics Guide. She has over 20 articles featured in Forbes, CEO Magazine, Accounting Today, and others. Lola is a developer of the Mastering Emotional Connection and the Train the Trainer certification programs. She has trained over 40 EMC-certified trainers and worked on over 150 case-transforming teams to be more effective and higher performing. That's a lot. You are one busy lady. Mm. Well, again, I'm so great to have you on the show. And I thought maybe a good start, I think the background is interesting, but maybe let people and our listeners know more about what it is you do and how important emotions are and how we're going to make Paul a much nicer and softer,
better leader here.
Well, thank you, Bart. I guess I never really found anything more fascinating and more interesting than the amazing drama that goes on with people who work together, whether they're in teams or in boards. And I think it started when I was a young career woman serving on a private company board where board members would just engage in this shooting gallery, if you will, and throwing punches at each other. And I would just wonder, and I was just mesmerized with this drama that they would engage and how they would get into this emotional music, into that emotional dance, if you will. And I would see them fight with each other and how they connected and how they disconnected. And I would run home and I would draw patterns, you know, like how did this start and why would one person say something and then the other person respond? And why is it some people would try to reach and the other people withdraw and disengage? And then after years later, you know, fast forward, sure. I'm sitting in the couple's workshop and I'm watching this couple fight. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God. Boards and teams are all about attachment bonds. If you create a more secure bond with people you work with, you are much more happier, you collaborate, you engage. And when you don't, you completely push for that connection constantly because that's what the brain does, is when we depend on each other, the brain wants to create a secure bond with each other.
Yeah.
And so that's a survival. So survival kind of kicks in. And so now we have emotional connection process, or EMC as we call it, which helps people to bond and to create this bonding conversation where they can talk from the place of vulnerability, where they can share their concerns, not by attacking or pushing or withdrawing, but they can have this vocabulary, if you will. And I have to put emotion in because emotion is what really makes the difference.
Yeah, I can see that.
So if I can share a little bit about the background about emotion.
Yeah, please do.
Emotion is the most powerful thing in the room and in the relationship. Emotion is also the most powerful agent of change. So emotion tells us what matters. Emotion it tells us what's important and what drives the interaction is all starts with emotion. So in your work, right, as a
wealth advisor,
you probably deal a lot with emotions.
Yes. Sometimes during maybe market volatility, I find myself more of a psychological counselor or advisor than I do a financial advisor.
Right. And it's so important because what you're helping actually, you're helping to co-regulate your client's emotions because in a volatile market, emotions go high.
Correct.
Right? And the emotions go high because emotions is a survival mechanism for us. Like, for example, if the fire alarm goes right now in this building, I will become irrelevant to you in nanosecond.
Right.
You know, your brain will be focusing on the alarm.
Yeah.
It will be, your blood will rush into your feet and your body is going to constantly say, am I saved? Boom, I'm not safe. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And so this is what emotion tells us. And so what you're doing as being a counselor, you said, Lola, I'm being a counselor to my client, right?
Right.
I'm trying to help them to calm them down, to share, to listen to their emotions, to hear them. And that's what I think emotional connection process does, is helps people to listen for emotions. How do you listen for the emotions? How do you help people to hear that they're valued, that they matter? What they're saying is matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people don't know how to do that by learning communication skills. You're really not getting to the emotions. And emotions is the core.
And it seems to me that this would help Paul. This would help couples. This would help business leaders. I know that you specialize in boards and teams. But is there a boundary? Is there any boundaries?
Oh, it's everywhere. No, right. It's everywhere. Right? It's with your relationships. It's with your... I mean, I have 5 grandkids. And yeah. I'm teaching them the language. You know, how to express about it. Because if you think about it, no matter what's in relationship, whether it's personal or professional, in your clients, with your clients, with your coworkers, when there's conflict is the inflammation. The virus is emotional disconnection.
Wow.
When people are disconnected, it's a danger cue for the brain.
Hmm.
In order for me to feel safe, in order for me to know that you have my back and I have your back, I have to be emotionally connected.
Hmm.
And when we have, for example, moments when we get busy, right, or when we get stressed, all of these stress kind of presses us. And the way we respond emotionally, that's what tells us whether we are still important to that person or we're not. And so there's lots of research that is done on specifically emotional responsiveness. And what they found, like, for example, for John Cohen, I think his name is Cohen, is he looked at marriages. He looked at the newlyweds for 15 years, and he tracked them. He came to their houses. He interviewed them. And he found that it wasn't the number of times they fought that predicted the success. It was what he called emotional responsiveness. Are you able to be emotionally attuned to the person when the other person is in stress? Are you able to be more accessible to them when they're in stress? Are you able to be responsive to them, engaged with them? Right. So the key bonding question in any of our attachment is, are you there for me? Do I matter? And when you are able to demonstrate that, people feel more secure. It's almost like you nurturing the relationship, right?
I'm going to run home and be so much better husband.
And that's another thing with your clients in the financial world.
Yeah.
When people are more connected with their spouses, they are much more balanced and they're much more willing to take risks. They're open to risk.
I see.
Because they're now much more willing, you know, their spouse is their kind of a secure base, their partner is their security.
Yeah.
And so when they know that their partner is not going to be disappointed at them, their partner is with them. Their partner can be for them when they're falling through space.
Yeah.
Then they saying like, Bart, let's do it.
Tell me if this is in the same arena. I just watched a documentary, Free Solo.
Uh-huh.
It's about a climber, rock climber, who climbs without any. His specialty is climbing without any ropes, no nothing.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty dangerous.
Pretty dangerous. Yeah. But then he tried something that no other human being has ever done. It's El Capitan at Yosemite. And there was some study done on him that said he has some lack of emotional response of, now this may not be related, but like to fear. So like we would be scared to death if, I mean, I would if I was, you know, 10 feet up and he's thousands of feet up and he doesn't have that fear. Is that, is there any relation to that?
That's,
or is that
so interesting you said that, because we're probably less fearful of these type of adventures than we are so much more fearful of relationships. Right? In relationships, our brain goes berserk when we lose that connection. In climbing, for example, I get that he's much more, because he has trained. The same thing with relationship and emotions and with teams. As you get better at dealing with emotions, it becomes so much more manageable. Mm. It's so much more easier to dance, right? Think of interaction as a dance. Emotion is the music. Mm. Right. In order for you to change the dance, you have to change the music. If two people are listening to different music, you're going to step on each other's toes. Right.
Wow.
So in the process of EMC process, we're changing the music. We are reminding people how important they are, how matter they are. Because in the moments of stress and disconnection, we forget what's the first thing that comes to your mind. The other person doesn't care. Mm. They don't care about it. They don't feel I don't feel valued.
Outdated.
Right? I mean, I worked with a case with their CEO and engineer manager. The engineer manager comes in into the CEO and says, "Do you trust me?" And the CEO says, "Of course I do. How many times have I told you that?" "Well, it doesn't feel like it." "Well, maybe you have a problem then." What did the CEO just say? He said, "You have a problem. You have your problem with your emotions. You go and deal with it."
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem with people like on boards and teams. They don't recognize how they impact each other. And they impact significantly. Mm. And so when people start to recognize that, understand, because I can read on your face what you are, what you feel before you can even recognize what you feel. Mm. So we get very attuned to each other. And I think this is, once people recognize that, they become much more aware and they can articulate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My guess is that there's a big difference in gender with emotional connection. Is that true?
Yeah, and I get that question all the time, right? Yes, well, I think men and women, first of all, they're both humans, right? And so they want to express their emotions. But I think women had more practice. Like, for example, I worked with a board where, you know, I had three men working with it. And before every board meeting, we would go through talking about emotions, because if they are more connected with themselves, they'll be much more connected with their board members. And I would come, you know, and the chairman would talk about his emotion, the CEO would talk about it, and then I would come to the vice chair and he would say, "Lola, don't ask me about emotions. I am a very private person. I don't want to talk about emotions." I said, "No problem. I get it. It's difficult for you." And then after about 8 months, we came after a board meeting. And again, I go around the room and I ask them. And suddenly the vice chair opens up. He opens up how he feels and how he was, you know, he was demeaned and the comments that they made. He was brushed to the side. And my jaw drops. And this is a demonstration saying, we have a mirror neurons in our brain, and our mirror neurons duplicate what the other people's do. So that done is for survival. And so this person shared because he saw that it's safe to share. Mm. He had the language. He saw us doing it. And so he decided to do it, because when we hurt, we reach for other people to help us. And we want to be connected to that person. The best part, Bart, was when the chairman, knowing this process, he didn't defend, he didn't say anything, but what he said is, "What can we do?" And the vice chair says, "Just be there."
How great. How great is
and
that?
And I think this is what you do with your clients. Mm-hmm. When they go into panic of emotional fear, "Oh my goodness, the market is going to, oh my goodness, I'm going to lose the money. Oh my goodness, what is my spouse is going to say? Oh my goodness, am I doing the right decision?" You're just there. You're catching them just being there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so great. Is there a standard process that you go through with your teams or with your
yes,
leaders?
Yeah.
Can you share a bit of that?
Sure,
is that okay?
Sure. That's really good. So it depends on, like, when there's team is in conflict or board in conflict, the first thing is you want to give them the individual, maybe a time, one individual session I always give to each individual person so they feel safe to kind of like share whatever they're on the mind. But then when the second session is always bringing people together, because people change when they're together, because they have this impact on each other, they want to connect. And what we look for is we create bonding conversation. Bonding conversation is where they can share their vulnerability, they can turn to each other and say, you know, when that happened, I felt embarrassed. Instead of saying, well, why did you say that? And what, you know, what made you that? You're a jerk and so forth, right?
Yeah.
So the process is, first we give them space, we align, we create safety. Then we bring them, kind of like we go through stages. There are 3 stages and 9 steps that we go through, right? So the first stage is creating a safety and also reframing that nobody is a bad guy. The bad guy is the cycle, the negative cycle that you got stuck on. And then deepening the emotional. So we give like emotions, words, you know, people have the vocabulary to express their emotions. We touch on the raw spots. And then we start to restructure the cycle from a negative to a positive where they can be accessible, responsive, and engaged when the other person's sharing. So, for example, if I can say, if the CEO says, you know, I feel so... I don't know what to say. In the moments when you attack me, I don't know what to say. I feel frozen, and I feel I'm trying to figure out what is it, what can I do to do better? And sometimes I just don't know what to say, and I want to be able to say that. I want you to be soft with me. I want you to share what's happening for you. So, and then the other person, when I can turn and say, how was it for you to hear that? And the other person can say, well, I don't know what to do with it, you know, and now I can process with them the emotions. So think of emotion like a rubber band, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the more rubber elasticity they have, the more they can express themselves, the more they can expand. It's like a big lake. Emotion is a big lake. We don't just throw people in the lake. We walk around the lake. We little touch water. We look at the stones. We look at the frogs. And then slowly they become more comfortable with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great, but I have to tell you, it sounds an awful lot like couples therapy.
Well, it's so funny you said that, because in a way, because couples, they attach to each other, right? They depend on each other. It's the same thing with teams and like family. How many times have you heard saying like, my work, my team is like my family, right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. Well, we don't call it as therapy, but what we call is the process of connection. Right? So emotional connection process where we feel more bonded with each other.
Do you work a lot just specifically with leaders by themselves, or is it always in a team situation?
You know, leaders will come to me and I would work, but the most change I see is when they're with a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier, I thought it was very interesting. Both Paul brought up about his father and how he made a change at the end and showed his emotions.
Yeah.
But I love the story of your husband. Can you share about your husband?
Yes, my husband is so amazing. I've been married for 37 years. And I remember we worked together for 27 years building electronic manufacturing companies. And after about, 27, I said, Jack, I think it's time for me to go and find my own dream. And I love working with people. So I started the psychology, and then he said, Lola, suddenly you started to win all the arguments. You know, first 25 years, I would be winning the arguments, and now you win the argument. What changed? And I said, well... And so he decided to go. So he's an electronic engineer. He owns companies. He made like 200 different patents in audiovisual field. And he decided to go and get his master's in psychology. And it transformed him, Bart.
Yeah.
Now he's a CEO by day and marriage and family therapist by night. And he also teaches at Pepperdine University in Irvine and Chapman.
Yeah.
So he is amazing. He's actually going to... So he teaches Hold Me Tight workshops, and he's going to do one. So my training is coming up on April 24th to 26th.
Okay.
Is the EMC training at Pepperdine University in Irvine, and his workshop is called Hold Me Tight, is on June 1st and 2nd, and Couples TLC is his website.
Yeah,
check it out. He's amazing. He has transformed.
Now, who wins the arguments now?
You know what? We both. Because now we're connected.
Yeah.
The most important thing is for any places, any arguments, we don't get into content.
Yeah.
We connect people, and now they can solve any problem.
Are you, this is way personal, probably inappropriate, are you like closer now than you were after all the training than you were when you first?
For sure, Bart, absolutely. Yeah. It's such a deeper level of connection.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that leaders learn when they learn this process is that they can go into deeper conversations so much quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. My life, my family, my kids, my grandkids, all of them have really transformed with this process.
Yeah. So you kind of touched on this, but what is the impact of emotional connection just on our performance?
Oh, my goodness. Well, to be high performer team and your brain to be innovative and creative, you have to feel connected first. Because if the brain doesn't feel safe, it actually hijacks the prefrontal cortex that is responsible for decision making, for collaboration, for anything, that thinking part. So in order for your brain to be thriving and to be at ultimate the best, to talents to come out, it has to be connected first to your key attachment figures. And your key attachment figures are people you depend on, your coworkers, your colleagues, your team members, your leaders, your direct reports. So once you create that connection, once you say, once I get reassurance, Bart, I get that you care about me. And you can say, Lola, I do care about you. You're very important to me. Poof.
Yeah.
I'm done. I can now go and play and risk and invent and come up with ideas. And I know that reassurance, that's nurturance, right? We talked about Darwin. The survival goes to the most nurtured. The nurturing comes for us to say, you matter to me. I tell my leaders, open your meetings. You're important to me. I care about you. Mm. You're important to each other. And so now we can do work together.
Paul, you have been uncharacteristically quiet. You must have commoner questions somewhere.
You know, we've had other people come in and talk about emotional intelligence and this whole idea that business leaders have to be emotional creatures. That is in 180-degree conflict with what I was taught as a child. You know, leaders are tough. John Wayne. They never show emotions. They're the ones that are cool under fire here. How do you show emotion and not seem, you know, and then I'll use presidents as a thing. Bill Clinton was the first one that, you know, felt your pain and was an emotional thing. Now we're back to a very unemotional older guy, Trump, who seems to be the opposite of all that. Talk about those two different archetypes. And is one dying and one alive? Are we moving into the Bill Clinton era more, the feel your pain era more here? And what does that do to organizations?
I think, Paul, you touched really good points there. I think it's really important. I think the neuroscience is showing us that our brain interprets pain when we are disconnected the same way as stepping on a nail. So I think with the new science, we now understand more how to be more productive, how to really go out in the world and influence. I think, Paul, you're talking about CEO influences, leaders' influence. And the more we can be this emotionally accessible, responsive, and engaged, are you there for me? A-R-E. Accessible, responsive, and engaged. The more you can be more influenced with people. So I think the science has helped us and their bonding attachment. John Bowlby, who is the father of attachment, he talked about that the need for connection goes from the cradle to the grave. We never stop needing our longing for connection. And so the science and I think the neuroscience, all of those things have showed us that we become much more influential when we can connect on an emotional level.
Paul, I'm a change man. How about you?
I'm open to it because, you know, it's awful hard holding all this in through the years. And I think there's liberation that comes if you can be yourself and show this. I think the fear is somehow that if you're vulnerable, you're going to look weak.
Right. And so true. And that's, I think, we're coming wrong. That's so crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so crazy. It's actually the other way. When we're vulnerable, we are strong. Mm. Because when we can show a vulnerability, we can show who we are. We can be there, and then the other people will be closer. With our vulnerability, we pull people closer together. With our toughness, we push people away.
Yeah, that is true. That's very true.
I'll say that in 6 years plus of doing this medium, whatever this is, radio, live podcasting, it's a form of social media, and the more real, authentic, genuine, honest, open you are, which means vulnerable, the more people believe you and connect with you. If you come in and all huff and puff, oh, I got all the answers, everything's great, people just turn you off.
Yes, you're right.
Well, Lola, this has been great. Thanks for coming on. I think this is a really great show, and I'd love to have you back. I think there's so many. We could probably dive deep into any one of these particular areas, and I think that would be great.
Yeah, that's so true. Thank you.
I would love to hear from you. We call your final thought question. So what is your ultimate lesson learned during your career as an emotional professional?
I think, Bart, and I was thinking about that question. I think the one lesson that I learned is you don't have to suffer. You don't have to suffer. The answer is right in front of you, right? You are the answer. You are the answer, and the people that you are with you, and you don't have to suffer. You can learn the tools now with the new science and the research and the theories that have come up with this process that we have, the attachment, the emotional connection process, the hold me tight workshops that my husband teaches. You don't have to suffer. You can be close with people you care about, you work with, and who are important in your life.
Yeah, so great. Hey, could you tell the listeners how they can get a hold of you and maybe remind them of the dates of your upcoming events?
Yes. So you can go into my website, level5executive.com. Five is spelled out. And you can send me an email, lola@level5executive.com. The workshops that we're coming up is Emotional Connection Process Training, Mastering Emotional Connection. It's at Pepperdine University in Irvine, California. It's the dates are April 24th through the 26th. And we also going to be in Washington, D.C., May 15th through the 17th. And the Hold Me Tight, if you want to be couples, really, you know, if you want to think about deepening your relationship with your spouse or your partner, you're welcome to visit my husband's site, couplestlc.com. And the dates for that workshop called Me Hold Me Tight workshop is June 1st and 2nd. It's going to be in Fullerton, California.
Okay, I'm RSVPing for Paul, so Paul's coming to that one. All right. Well, I want to thank you again.
Thank you.
What a
so
wonderful
much.
Show. And thanks
it was so fun.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, good.
I want to thank everyone who has tuned in, and we look forward to being back in studio next week. Cheers.
Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc., under SEC registration.